It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 11, and we're going to read down through just two verses, down through verse 1 and verse 2 of chapter 11. And so while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number is 217-847-2717. If you would like to visit our website, it is parkviewbiblechurch.org, parkviewbiblechurch.org. Got several messages up, Bible studies, plan of salvation, our constitution. Then also, if you would like to email us, it's Parkview Bible. Not Parkview Bible Church, but parkviewbible@gmail.com. Now, I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Revelation chapter 11, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. Revelation chapter 11, verse 1. There was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out. Measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, we're going to stop just with that reading. We usually read further, but today we're not going to get much past the first verse. And so that was Revelation chapter 11, and we read verse 1 and 2. Now, let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you, and we praise you for the day that you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity to proclaim your word across the airways that so many folks can listen if they choose to, and I hope that they do today. I hope that they listen to to your precious word, that it'll touch their hearts, and by hearing the word of God, that the Holy Spirit, he can penetrate their hearts, and they'll surrender to you and be saved. I hope that they turn to you and serve you today as well, and so please, we're to come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus is the purpose of this program. So, Father, I just ask that you will bless it and use it and bring people to you through the cross of your Son, the Lord Jesus, as he died on the cross of Calvary. He died to save us, to set us free, and it is freedom that we have when we trust and come by faith to you and faith alone. So please today, just touch all of our hearts. Bless us with your precious word, whether it be for salvation or for growth or for victory, wisdom, peace, whatever it might be in this troubled and trying world that we live in. You're the only peace that can be found. And so please give us this peace, and it be found through your Son, the Lord Jesus, we know. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In this chapter, God is about to take possession of what belongs to him. The earth is the Lord's. It was created by him. It was created for him. And it, however, it has been under satanic control or rule now for almost 6,000 years. God gave Adam and Eve, as they were created, Adam, the first man, first person created, God gave him dominion over all creation, made him controller of the universe. However, Adam deliberately disobeyed and sold out to the devil. By this, he lost everything God had entrusted to him. One of these days, the second Adam, Christ, will redeem all that the first Adam lost. So it's a very simple operation. One man lost it, and one will redeem it. And Adam lost it, and the Lord Jesus Christ will redeem it for us. He will redeem all, including the earth and all creation. Today, the devil is the prince of the power of the air, the god of this age. We've got a couple of scripture verses I'd like for us to read today, and I hope that you're able to follow along and read with us as we get to these places. We're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, the fulfilling and the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Again, 1 Corinthians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Two very wonderful verses of Scripture. Today the devil is the prince of the power of the air, the god of this age. One day, Jesus will personally put the devil into the lake of fire and brimstone. That day will come. One day that will come. He will deceive the nations no more. He is a liar, he is a cheat, he is a deceiver. But there'll be a day when justice will be served, and he will no longer do this. Chapter 11 gives us the beginning of the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. During the time the Gentiles will make their last attempt to stop and destroy God's plan. Now, I said the Gentiles. During this time, the Gentiles will make the last attempt to stop and destroy God's plan. The times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles. Let me give you just a little bit of history here, because it started with the captivity of Judah back in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 1 through 7. That's where it started. Now, we're going to go back to 610 B.C. Josiah was wounded in battle and died. Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, was put in his place as king, and he was 23 years old. Jehoahaz reigned for 3 months, but the king of Egypt put him down at Jerusalem and made Eliakim king of Judah in Jerusalem. He was the king of Egypt's brother. Reigned 11 years. Very, very evil man. And at this time, God literally sent Nebuchadnezzar. He come down and took him away. Now, from then till May 1948, Jerusalem was under Gentile rule. And today, it is still protected by Gentile powers. Yes, Israel and the Jews have a portion, but their protection today is still by Gentile powers. So we're still in the times of the Gentiles. Today, this protection is given by America and by England and a few others, very few. But they are given protection. Now, we have seen in the very last times here that no longer do the leaders of America, the United States of America, no longer do they stand with Israel as they have in the past. And that will be the doom of the United States of America. Not the doom of Israel. God will protect them. But because we have refused to stand with them, if we continue in the path that we're going, it will not be long that we will no longer exist. It is that critical and that important that we stand with the nation of Israel. You're either going to be blessed or you're going to be cursed. And the only thing that hinges on those two things is your stand with Israel and the God of Israel, or to reject and receive the curse. Arabs today still want to destroy Israel. They hate them more than ever, and they hate any nation that stands with them. Truly, if it not be for God's hand, the Jews would have been wiped out and annihilated, taken from the face of the earth years ago. The times of the Gentiles. The first verse here in the 11th chapter, there was given him a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. So understanding that we're under the Gentile, in the Gentile times now, the times of the Gentiles, John is given something, and as we said when we started here, that God is about to take possession of what belongs to him. So the age of the Gentiles is about to end. Now John's given a reed. He said to rise up and measure. These words set in place the initial work or the process of taking possession of the earth by and only by our victorious Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the beginning of the taking over of all things by our Lord Jesus Christ. Taking over, taking back. What is his? John's given a reed. It's like a rod, likened to a rod, it says, a measuring stick. It's always been assumed that it's about 10 feet long. Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 3, and Zechariah 1:16 tells us a little bit more about the measuring stick and the rod. If you'd like to look that up at another time, Ezekiel 40, verse 3, Zechariah 1, verse 16. We find in this statement here, measure the temple of God and the altar of God and them that worship therein. That's the last half of verse 1 of chapter 11 of Revelation. The temple, the altar, and the worshipers, they are included in this measure. They are to be measured, those three things, the temple of God, the altar of God, and the worshipers of God. These verses of Scripture here tend to suggest to us that God will preserve and protect the temple, the altar, and those that worship there. John had been only a spectator until now. But with Israel, this is his own brethren. They've come into the picture, and now he becomes a very active part. John now is instructed to rise and measure. Wonderfully, John follows the command immediately. He measured the temple, he measured the altar, and he measured the worshipers. You know, when the Jews asked Pilate to release Barabbas and crucify Jesus, they asked that his blood be upon them and upon their children. God set Israel aside for a season. He did not remove them. He didn't cast them away. He did give them up to the blindness until the fullness of the Gentiles had come. And as we said, we are in the times of the Gentiles, but that time is soon to end. During this time that he has set them aside, the Jewish worship, the sacrifices, the feasts, all those things, they ceased, or they should have. Now, because of the blindness of the Jews, not believing that Jesus was the Son of God, many have continued in these rituals because now that's all they are. Their traditions, their rituals. When this took place, when Israel was set aside, they were blinded. Now the church age started. And this will continue very clearly. There's a calendar of events here, very easily to see. This will continue until the rapture. The church will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. What a glorious day that's going to be. And I believe that day could be very, very soon to now. At the time of the rapture, this worship of the Jews will be restored in true order or manner. You see, the Jews couldn't worship without a temple. Our worship is in spirit and truth in the church age. But the Jews, they were taught and commanded, and proper, rightly so, to worship in the temple. And it was a different fashion of worship. We come to church and we call it worship. I think it's closer to fellowship myself. I think the worship is something that you and I do when we are alone with God and we're in His precious Word, enjoying it. But the Jews, when they come together, they didn't come and sit in the pews in the temple. They would bring their offerings and bring their sacrifices. And there is no place to do that because there is no temple. Each time that this temple was destroyed in the past, never, at that time then, they had to stop offering their sacrifices because there is no place to bring them. They cannot worship without a temple. Once again, our worship is in spirit and truth in the church age. And that is and can be done any place, anytime, anywhere. Because you want to fellowship with the Lord and you want to worship Him, you can do that. It's a wonderful time we have when we come together at church to sing praises, beautiful old hymns. Get out the old, you know, the wonderful King James Bible, and we've never left that. We've stayed true to it as we have stayed true to the Word of God. And we stand and we read the Word of God, and then we fellowship over the Word of God. That can be worship. That can also be fellowship. Those two are hand in hand and very enjoyable. Please enjoy praising God, worshiping God, fellowshipping with God. Jews, they're found in a place of the temple. That's where they come and worship and praise God. The temple, the altar, all are necessary, very necessary for the Jews. This temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem by the Jews after the rapture of the church. It will be built in a very specific place, and that's exactly where the Mosque of Omar now stands. You can mark that. You know that that's going to happen. Wonderful. The temple has been rebuilt many times. When it's all said and done, there'll be a total of 5 temples. The first temple, David wanted to build. God did not allow him to build it. He provided most of the materials, even brought them to the site. Solomon, his son, was given the opportunity to finish that work. This is the next to the best of the temples, Solomon's. 588 B.C. is when you'll find that temple. And it is in 1 Kings chapter 7. So if you'd like to look it up and read about it, that's great. I said is the next to the best. This is Solomon's temple. Most believe it was the best. It is not. It's next to the best. The second temple that was built after Solomon's temple was destroyed was Zerubbabel's temple. You'll find that in Ezra chapter 3, verse 12. That was some 410, 420 years later. And so that was the year 170 B.C. It was destroyed. And then Herod's temple was built. Now, Herod's temple, and I have to back up just a little bit here. This 588 and 170, that's not when it was built, that's when it was destroyed. That's when it was destroyed. Solomon's temple was destroyed in 588 B.C. Zerubbabel's temple was destroyed in 170 B.C. Herod's temple, John chapter 2, verse 20, we find it to be destroyed in 70 A.D. So that would be about 35, 40 years after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Herod's temple. There has never been a temple since that time. In Jerusalem, there has never been the temple for the Jews since 70. That's almost 2,000 years. There is two more to come. The temple rebuilt during the first 3.5 years of the reign of the Antichrist. That's the next temple to come. You'll find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. It will be rebuilt. Church is raptured, and upon that event taking place, immediately will the rebuilding of the temple begin. And it will be built on the site where the Mosque of Omar is right now. That will be torn down and destroyed, and the temple will be rebuilt. However, this is during the reign of the Antichrist. This will take place during the first 3.5 years. As I said, Solomon's temple is next to the best, because without not even a close second, could be the none of the above, Solomon's, Zerubbabel's, Herod's, nor the temple that's built during the tribulation period. The greatest temple will be the millennial temple, the temple of Jesus, Acts 15:16. You can read some beautiful scripture verses in Ezekiel chapter 40, and you'll find some wonderful descriptions of this temple. In chapter 3, verse 16 of 1 Corinthians, and chapter 6, verse 19 of 1 Corinthians, the body is made up of born-again, blood-washed believers called the temple of God. I want you to see that. That's what we have today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Let's go to 6:19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Today, we are the temple of God. Jerusalem is the only city on earth where the temple of stone is honored, is sanctioned and honored by God, by Jehovah. in the second verse, but the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. We learn that the holy city shall be trodden underfoot for 42 months, the last half of the 7 years of tribulation. Temples built during the first half. Jerusalem is the holy city spoken of through the Bible. Nehemiah chapter 11, 1 through 8. Isaiah 52, 1. Dan 9:24. Jerusalem is the holy city spoken of throughout the Bible. Nehemiah 11:1-8, Isaiah 52:1, Daniel 9:24 is wonderful references to look up. A period of time in Revelation chapter 11, verse 3, chapter 12, verse 6. The period of time is 1,260 days. In Revelation 12:14 and Daniel 9:2, it is spoken of time, times, and a half a time. It all refers to one thing, 3.5 years. The last half of the tribulation, 42 months. For 1,260 days, the Gentiles will tread down the people in Jerusalem as if it's just clay in the streets. Isaiah 10, verse 6, tells us this. Even the Antichrist will befriend the Jew during the first half of the reign of the Antichrist, the time of peace. He rides out with a bow, but no arrow, remember? However, these same people will turn in a vengeance and be terrorizing terrorists to the Jews. Isaiah 18:6, that verse of scripture we're going to read. Isaiah 18:6. They shall be left together unto the fowls of the mountain and to the beasts of the earth. And the fowls shall summer upon them, and all the beasts of the earth shall winter upon them. It's going to be a most horrible time. Thus the Gentiles' enemies will turn loose their fury upon Judah, upon Israel, upon God's chosen people. The third verse, and I thought that we would get just this far, I will give power unto my two witnesses. They shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. This deals with the Jews. Remember the last week, the temple and the altar and them that worship. Remember, we have talked about this, that the as we talk about the weeks, the first term and the time period. Well, remember when we talk about this next week, this time period. My dear friend, I hope you know Jesus as your Savior. What are you going to do about Jesus?